Well, amen. Praise the Lord for the special music today. What a blessing it has already been just being in the house of the Lord. If you have your Bibles with you, if you would look with me to the book of Hebrews, the book of Hebrews and chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11, which is the faith chapter of the Bible. What a blessing it is to study and read Hebrews 11 over and over again. You get so much out of it. We're going to be reading verse 23 down to verse 27 this morning. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 23. So if you're able to, if you would stand with us as we read the Word of God together, as I read, you follow right along with me. Hebrews chapter 11, beginning in verse 23. The Bible says, "By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents because they saw he was a proper child, and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible." And let's pray. Father, we bow before you. What a blessing it's already been just sensing your presence in this place. And Father, now as we look into the precious word that you have provided for us, that you preserved so that we might know the very mind of God, I pray, God, that through this passage of scripture that you would use me as an instrument in your hand to bring forth your message to your people once again, in Jesus' name, amen and amen. You may be seated. Of course, I believe the Apostle Paul was the one that God used, inspired to pen the book of Acts. And Paul writes this about Moses before Christ would have come. This is Old Testament. Christ fulfilled the Old Testament and established New Testament. But this was something that Paul wrote about Moses, knew that Christ would come. He had been taught about the Messiah. We find this has to be the case because we look there and it says in verse 26, esteeming the reproach of Christ. He looked forward to this day and age. He looked forward to the Messiah coming. And he esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. So we find here that Moses was able to do all that was written about him here in these verses that we've just read. He was able to do all that Paul writes about by being able to see him who is invisible. Verse 27. The Bible says in verse 27 that he turned away from Egypt. Means he forsook. He didn't want what Egypt had to offer. Egypt would be a type of the world. He overcame the fear of the king, of Pharaoh. And then the Bible says that he endured. That means that he just kept moving forward. He kept right on serving God, trial after trial, time after time again. And he was able to do that because he saw him who was invisible. He was able, in seeing Jesus, he was able to see things the way God wanted him to. We study the Bible, and we learn the truths of the Bible. We focus on Christ who ushered in this Christianity that we live by today. It enables us to see things the way that God wants us to see things. And when we see things the way that God wants us to see things, we can live the Christian life. And we can find more is available to us through the Christian life than anything this world has to offer. That's what the Bible is talking about. That's what he's presenting about Moses. He was able to see things the way God wanted him to see things. The first thing that we find here in Moses, that he didn't see himself as Pharaoh's grandson. God didn't see Moses as Pharaoh's grandson. I think Pharaoh saw Moses as his grandson. Pharaoh's daughter saw Moses as her son, being raised to possibly be the next Pharaoh, being able to take the position of the king of Egypt. But the Bible says here, because Jesus was seeing him who was invisible, that when he came to years, he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Wow, what a blessing it is. And as we read this, and we know that God has given to us the scriptures for us to learn, for us to not only learn what the Bible says, but learn how that we are to take the words of God and make them applicable to our lives today. And so the first thing that I think out of this passage of scripture that we can apply, that we need to ask ourselves, is how do you see yourself? It's the life that you're living. Every one of us has a life to live. And how you see yourself will go a long ways as far as how you live that life. And how you live that life and the decisions that you make will determine how God deals with us. How do you see yourself? As Pharaoh's grandson, Moses would have been able to have whatever he desired. He would have saw himself as being privileged. And as seeing himself as being privileged, how could whatever he would have desired have been wrong? There was no one there that would have told him no, because they would have seen him as being heir to the throne, as he would have been able to see himself. But he didn't view himself that way. He turned away from that. But in seeing him who is invisible, he's seen himself in a different light. How do we see ourselves? If we look to the Bible, if we look to Christ, and through his eyes, can I tell you that you'll see yourself as a sinner in need of a Savior? That's every person on planet Earth. The Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. That means that God loved humanity, and God gave his Son, his only begotten Son, to come to this earth to pay a sin debt that humanity owes and cannot pay on their own. But in order for them to be able to receive the gift that comes to us by way of Jesus Christ, we have to see ourselves in need of a Savior. If we see ourselves in need of a Savior, we have to see ourselves as God reveals to us as we are sinners. Sinners. The Bible says, for all have sinned, fall short of the glory of God. We're all sinners. If we would look there in the book of Luke in chapter 5 and verse 8, Peter, when he finally saw Jesus for who he was, that took a little while for him to truly believe and truly see Jesus as being the Messiah, as seeing him who is invisible in the Old Testament. And Peter was able to put his eyes upon him and see him as the only begotten Son of God. When Peter saw him as who he was and is, he says, depart from me, for I am a sinful man. Oh, Lord, I'm not worthy. I don't deserve you. I'm not worthy of you dying for me, as none of us are. But is that how we see ourselves? Because we are sinners, we have to allow God to determine what is sin. If I see myself as privileged, then I will have no one to tell me no. How could what I want be wrong? How could what I think be wrong? And if you don't see yourself as a sinner, then you think that as long as it feels good, then it should be all right. If it's something that I want, if it's something that's accepted in society especially, how could it be wrong? And we will live that way. Determining what is sin and what's not sin by our desires and our lusts and our pride. But if we see ourselves as God reveals to us the reality of what we are, then we realize that my desires could be wrong. My lifestyle could be wrong. What I have accepted as being approved might not be. When we allow what God says to determine sin, then we will come to the same conclusion as we study the Bible that alcohol is of sin. Right. Now, there is a lot of, even in some Baptist circles, there's an acceptance of a social drink. There's an acceptance of certain types of alcoholic beverages. But if you see him who is invisible, but has revealed to us his written down revealed word. And if you study the Bible, the association with that which is associated with alcohol is not something that a true born again believer needs to be associated with. The results of that and how it affects our minds and how it affects our bodies and how it affects our lives is not something that I want to be associated with. And if we study the scriptures concerning what the Bible says that alcohol does to an individual and how it turns away his right thinking to wrong thinking, it's something that if we allow God to determine it, we would say, as a sinner, I would like to indulge. But as seeing him who is invisible, it's not going to be a part of my life. Gambling, the sin of this decade that is continuing to get worse and worse. But to a sinner, it gets better and better. It's easier and more convenient today than it ever has been before. But when you see the results of that, when you see what that does to certain individuals who have been addicted to that type of a lifestyle, and the families that are affected by not having the money to put food on the table, not having the money to pay bills, and not having the money to take care of your children. Listen to me. You see that and you realize, based on what the Bible teaches us, seeing him who is invisible, as a sinner I might accept it, but as a born-again believer I have to acknowledge it will not be a part of my life. Moses says, I'm not seeing myself as a son of Pharaoh, thinking that nothing should be withheld from me, that I ought to be able to do whatever I want to do and however I feel can't be wrong. Fornication. Today, any side type of sexual engagement outside of marriage. Well, if we love each other, if we feel this way, and if we feel this way, and if we desire this, and we desire that, and we're not hurting anybody else, and you go on and on and on. As a sinner, you can justify it. As a sinner, you can say, how could it be wrong? And I can give myself to that. But as seeing him who is invisible and understanding what the Bible says, it's got to be something that we look to Christ and say, as I'm looking to him which is invisible, it will not be a part of my life. I know where it comes from. I know what God says about marriage. I know what God says about morality. As I'm looking to him, and now that which he has preserved for me, it will not be part of my life. That's what Moses was saying. I will not be called, will not be viewed as a son of Pharaoh's daughter. Church association. Now you're all in church this morning. Praise the Lord for that. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. Being aware of the importance of the New Testament church in this New Testament church age. Understanding that this is the vehicle by which God is going to accomplish what he has us here to accomplish throughout this New Testament church age with the fulfillment of the revelation of God's word. We understand that. But if I don't see myself as a sinner and I think, well, some people need it, I don't need it. Yeah. Well, I don't care how many times a church meets together, I know what I'm going to do, and I'm going to do it the way I want to do it, and I'm not going to let anybody dictate to my life what I do with my religion, what I do with my faith. I can see that if you see yourself as a son of Pharaoh's daughter. But when you look to Christ, who shed his blood for the church, when you look to the word of God that reveals the importance of our assembly, which reveals the importance of what we do as a church, and remembering the sacrifice of Christ, remembering the Lord's Supper, remembering the baptism, which reveals to us the God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit on a regular basis as we baptize in the name of the Father, Son, the Holy Spirit, and we accomplish what God has us here to accomplish, and we're doing what we can do in reaching the world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. When you look to him which is invisible, how can you not be a part of it? When I determine who I love and who I hate, who I forgive and who I don't, well, if you're privileged, you can hate whoever you want to hate. And you can only forgive the ones you want to forgive. But if you're looking to Christ, who showed us that it's a possibility to love the unlovable and to forgive the unforgivable, and when we do that, the blessings that are bestowed upon us and the peace that we have instead of living in bitterness and anger and confusion, then we'll say, if that's God's will for my life, I'm going to forgive the unforgivable as God would have me to, and I'm going to love the unlovable as God would have me to. And that's going to be part of my life. That's how I'm going to live. When you see yourself as a sinner in need of a Savior and focused on him who is invisible. Yeah. The second thing I find in looking here, he did not see the Egyptians as being superior. Yeah. Verse 24, by faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing. He could have been a Pharaoh. He could have been associated with the Egyptians, but choosing rather to suffer the affliction of the people of God, the slaves in the land. He chose that. How do you view others? As a son of Pharaoh's daughter, as looking at Egyptian, being an Egyptian as being superior to the Hebrews, as being superior to others around them, can I tell you that's a different mindset in how you live life? Well, when you look to him which is invisible and you understand, we should not put ourselves above anybody else. Who am I to think myself better than anyone else, no matter what skin color, no matter what gender, no matter what nationality? How do you view others? Can I tell you, the human nature, the sin nature of man, has a tendency to view the worth of others as being dependent upon what they can do for us. What do I care about what happens to people around the world? It's not affecting my life. Why should I give to Faith Promise Missions, and why should I be involved in reaching the world when it's not affecting my life? People are dying, going to hell. It's not affecting my life. And the worth is only on those that can do something for me. Can I tell you how many people live that way? That's seeing yourself as the son of Pharaoh's daughter. But when you see yourself as that sinner, that which we are, then you realize, I'm no better than anybody else. I might have had some advantages, being raised in a Christian home, being brought up in a God-fearing, God-preaching church. I might have experienced things that other people have not had in order to make some decisions that I've made to bring me to where I'm at today and have the blessings of God. I might have done that, but I'm no better than anybody else. Over in the book of Philippians in chapter 4, let me just read it to you. Philippians in chapter 4, this is what the Bible says as looking to him which is invisible. In Philippians in chapter 4 and verse 3, I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, and help. Let's go down to verse 5. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your request be made known unto God, and the peace of God shall pass all understanding and shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. You want to keep God on our minds. Let's go back to chapter 2. I'm sorry. Chapter 2 is where I want you to see this. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Let each esteem others better than themselves. That's looking to the Bible. That's looking to Christ, which is invisible. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he, Jesus, as an example, humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. How do you view others? As we view others as seeing him who is invisible, we view the whole world as people that God loves and need to be told. I view others, our family members, our co-workers, our classmates, our neighbors, people around the world. You view others as people that Jesus Christ came to die for. As people that God loves and that need to be told. That'll make a difference in our lives. That'll make a difference when we see him who is invisible and how we see others. Verse 25, go back with me to our text there. Verse 25 and verse 26, the Bible says, choosing rather to suffer the afflictions with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasure of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. See, Moses was not overcome with the pleasures or the treasures of this world. How do you view them? How do you view the pleasures? I deserve whatever pleasures I want. I deserve what anybody else enjoys. My life is going to be based on pleasures, on what's going to bring me pleasure through lust of the flesh and lust of the eyes and the pleasures of life. Moses, as the son of Pharaoh's daughters, could have had any pleasure that he wanted. But he forsook that. He said, I don't want that. When he saw him who was invisible. Pleasures. And the treasures. Who doesn't want to have the things of this world? Who doesn't want to have the toys? And who doesn't want to have all the different riches that this world has to offer? As a sinner, it becomes my number one thing to live for. My existence is based on feelings as a sinner, as a son of Pharaoh's daughter. But Moses, the Bible says, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. He realized it was only going to be for a season. What Christ offers is of greater value and is of greater worth than whatever temporary pleasures you can submit to. And whatever temporary treasures that you can have. Matter of fact, the passage of scripture that most know, 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 6, the Bible says, but godliness with contentment is great gain. You can never find godliness through pleasures and treasures of this world. But godliness and contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. It's a temporary thing. And having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. That doesn't mean that's all we have to be, all we have to have in this life. But we have to be thankful for whatever God chooses for us to have. And as we have what God wants us to have, we want all that God wants us to have. But we remain faithful to seeing Him who is invisible. Showing that I will not love money more than God. I will not love things more than God. I will not love whatever more than God. Because the Bible goes on to say, but they that will be rich, and that's your heart's beat, that's your heart's desire, fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money, it's the love of money, not money itself, but the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they live for that, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. But thou, O man of God, but thou, Christian, as seeing him who is invisible, flee these things. Forsake those things, as Moses did, and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, and meekness. Yeah. How do you see yourself? How do you view the things of this world, pleasures and treasures? In closing, go back with me Hebrews in chapter 11, verse 27. The Bible says, by faith. That's how you see him who is invisible. By faith, he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured. Ultimately, as Moses thought about his choices for life, for he chose God, he by faith, same way we do it, we make our choices as we look to Christ, as we by faith look to him who is invisible. As we view ourselves, how do you see yourself? As we view others, down deep, how do you view others? And as we look at what this world has to offer, we must choose Christ. Because in choosing Christ, you also choose heaven. Heaven. The reality of eternity. It's a reality. Can I tell you there's no non-believers in hell? There's none. Now they were non-believers seeing themselves as a son of Pharaoh's daughter until they died. Seconds. I mean, at twinkling of an eye, people know the truth when their life on this earth is over. And the choices we have made will make a difference. If you don't see yourself as a sinner, you can never receive Jesus as Savior. If you don't receive Jesus as Savior, you will not go to heaven. Just because you don't believe in it doesn't make it real. It doesn't negate the reality of it. To open my eyes after living this life, seeing it come to an end, and my faith becomes sight, and I see Jesus, and I understand the importance of what's taking place here on earth. If I don't go up in the rapture, as soon as I die, I understand what is taking place on earth, the importance of what is taking place here. And it's not seeing myself as the son of Pharaoh's daughter. It's all about seeing him who is invisible and seeing things the way that God wants me to see things that will get me to accomplish what God has me here to accomplish. And once I have accomplished that and God calls me home, can I tell you the rejoicing of seeing my faith become sight, the reality of heaven. Paul knew that. Paul was taken to the third abode, which is the presence of God, and he saw things that no other man has ever seen. He was able to come back and pen 14 of the New Testament books of the Bible. And one of the books of the Bible that he penned was the book of Philippians. And in Philippians in chapter 1 and verse 21, in closing, he said this, For to me to live this life, for whatever time I have remaining, for to me to live is Christ. To die is gain. If we live our lives here, seeing him who is invisible, we live for him who is invisible, we live for Christ, then when our eyes close in death, can I tell you, it's gain. It's far more glorious than any of the temptations to pleasures and the temptations to treasures and anything else this world has to offer. This far greater when I know that I live for Christ and I'm looking forward to that day when I die because it's gain. How do you see things? Your choices are going to be determined by how you see things. We need to see things through the eyes of Christ. If I could have every head bowed. What a much better and more powerful way to live this life. A much better and more powerful existence. We live for Christ, seeing things the way He would have us to see things. Do you see yourself as a sinner? It's the only way you can get saved. Only way that you're going to go to heaven. If you see that today and you realize you've never asked Jesus Christ to forgive you for your sins and to come into your heart and save your soul, you can do that today. In just a few minutes, we're going to give an invitation. An invitation is an opportunity to respond to whatever God spoke to me about. If God spoke to you this morning and you need to come, we invite you to come. Make the decision to trust Jesus before it's eternally too late. Father, we bow before you. We love you, Lord. Thank you, Lord God, for loving us. Thank you for the truths of your word. Thank you that we can see Christ in all things. And in looking through Christ, I can see things the way you want me to. And in seeing things the way you want me to, I can make the right choices in this life. Bless now in this invitation. Work in our midst, for it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.